The closing evangelistic meeting of 2019, our spring campaign. We're glad to have Dr. Gilmore and Brother Paul Raines, Evangelist Paul Raines, with us this week, and they've been such a blessing to us. Looking forward to some great music, some good singing. We'll give you an opportunity for testimonies tonight, blessings that you've received this week, and we're looking forward to great preaching as well. Let us ask Brother Paul.
All right. Take your hymnals, turn to hymn number 349, and I trust the Lord has been working in your heart this week, that your heart has been open, and that tonight you're just coming, seeking the Lord, and wanting to hear from Him tonight. So hymn number 349, let's all stand together and sing A New Name in Glory. Hymn number 349.
I was once a sinner.
The day when your name was written down in glory.
Amen.
What a glorious day that was, and this recounts that. I trust that this is your testimony tonight. If it isn't, that today will be that day. On that second stanza,
I was humbly kneeling at the cross, fearing not what God's angry frown, and the heavens opened, and I saw that my name was written.
Stirring your heart tonight, and that you're here ready to hear from the Lord. It's so good to have each of you here this evening, and we'll go ahead and open up the service with a word of prayer. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you this evening that we can come once again to hear the Word of God preached. We thank you for the power of the Word of God and how it can change our lives, can change the heart of that hardened sinner and make it into a heart of flesh, Lord, that is willing and moldable into your hands. And I pray that you'd help that to be the case for each person here tonight, that each Christian here tonight would have a humble heart, Lord, willing to change in accordance to your word, and that if there's any here tonight that are not sure of their salvation, Lord, that they've never come to Christ, I pray that tonight would be the night that they come to you as a lost sinner for redemption. And so we trust that you'll have your hand on the service for this evening. We look to you for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Turn in your hymnals now to hymn number 545. Hymn number 545. Christ receiveth sinful men. That's who he came to save, was to save sinners. Not the righteous, but sinners. And so if you're a sinner here tonight, you can be saved if you haven't been saved already. Hymn number 545.
Sinner Jesus will receive, sound this word of grace to all, who the heavenly pathway lead, all who linger, all who fall. Sing it o'er and o'er again, Christ
tonight that you can sing that. Christ does receive sinful men because he's received you. And maybe you're here tonight and you don't feel like singing about that. And one reason why might be because Christ hasn't received you yet. And he wants to. And when someone gets saved and their sins are washed away, you know what one thing they love doing is singing. And I trust that tonight you'll look at yourself and ask, why am I able to sing it out tonight? Am I thrilled about these truths? Or is it just kind of cold? These kind of meaningless? And you might need to check your heart and make sure that the Lord truly has saved you and made you clean. And that is an important thing. I trust you can sing this out because it is so true. On that third stanza,
now my heart contents me not, pure before the Lord I stand. He who cleansed me from all spot, satisfied is gladly mine. Sing it o'er and o'er again, Christ receiveth a sinful man. Make a man pure and clean.
The kids, when in the evening, during the message, all the kids go out to the back, and we've been working on some scripture memory verses that we've put to music. And so at this time, all those kids who have been going out in the evening, I want you to come up, and we are going to sing three verses, Ephesians 5:18, 1 John 1:7, and then Psalms 119:11 for you. And we put these to music, and so we're going to sing these for you tonight.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, they've done a great job this week memorizing those scripture verses. So let's turn our hymnals to hymn number 144. Hymn number 144. After that, Pastor Rice will come. Hymn number 144, Calvary Covers It All. My past with its sin and shame, Calvary covers it all. Hymn number 144.
Far dearer than all that the world can impart was the message that came to my heart. How that Jesus alone for my sin did atone, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers
to think about how truly Calvary covers it all. When you think about your life and all the things, all the sins that we've committed, just stop for a minute and to think all the sins that we've committed. You know, some of us are old in here. I think the oldest is 95. And then there's some in here who are young. And to think of all those sins that all of us combined have committed. And to think that they are covered at Calvary. And then you think beyond that, 7 billion people in the world right now, in all their sins, and all the times that they've offended God and have taken His name in vain, have lives stolen, all those sins, and they're covered at Calvary. And what a wonderful thing. And so if your sins are forgiven, this song ought to bring tears to your eyes to think of what Christ has done for you. What if there wasn't Calvary? We would have no hope of eternal life in heaven without Calvary, without Jesus Christ shedding His blood. So, what an incredible song. Let's sing that fourth stanza as the last.
How blessed the thought that my soul by Him bought shall be His in the glory on high. Where with gladness and song I'll be one of
tonight to Northfield Baptist Church to our closing revival meeting, evangelistic meeting. It's been great this week. We've had one saved on Monday night and through all many spiritual decisions through the week by Christians, by believers. And we're so thankful for Dr. Gilmore coming and evangelist Paul Raines and his wife, Lisa, and their two children, We're so glad that they made the trip all the way out here to us from Indiana and from Wisconsin. And so we're just so pleased to have them. Just by way of announcements, we want to direct your attention to our bulletin. Does anybody need a bulletin? Raise your hand. We'll be happy to get one to you. If you need a bulletin, raise your hand. We'll be happy to get one to you. It will help you out with that. Just by way of announcements, tonight we are having a pizza party right afterward. We're sending them off. There's also some cakes ready to go. We're doing some special things tonight right after the service to send off both of our evangelists, and we're just so thankful for them. And we also mentioned that tonight was family night and pizza night, so whoever brought the most visitors tonight will get either a Bible or a book on the back table of your choice, except the $30 one back there. So who brought a visitor tonight? Okay, Zamora? Hope, welcome back, Hope. Glad to have you back with us tonight. And we are glad that you are here. All right, Zamora, you get the book of your choice or a Bible from the hallway bookstore there. Just show it to Dr. Gilmore so he knows which one you took or which show me if you which Bible you took. All right, then by way of other announcements, we are collecting candy for Easter eggs. We have about 700 Easter eggs to fill, and we can knock out a whole 100 with a whole bag of candy. So if you get the $7 bag of candy at Walmart or whatever, that'll knock out about 100 of them. But any candy that you would like to donate or little toys that can fit in little Easter eggs, we'd be much appreciated, and the kids will appreciate it very much. And we try to make a big outreach as possible to our neighborhood, to our community, and get them in to hear the gospel message before they go find the eggs. And every year we have at least one saved as a result of hearing the gospel message before the finding. Then, just by way of other announcements, we are collecting a love offering tonight in the offering plates, and that will go toward Dr. Gary Gilmore and his ministry as he goes around the country preaching the Word of God. So let us give as God tugs on our hearts tonight to give to the evangelists and their ministry with us. And we're just so thankful for both of them. All right, at this time we'll ask our and Master Club's regionals competitors. How many are going this Saturday to compete for the Master Club's regionals? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, and Lydia's out in the hallway. Okay, so 8, and then Maya and Sahara as well. So we have 10 kids going, so pray for them, and pray for the four adults, Dominique, Carol, Dawn, and myself, who are going as well. Pray for the 14 of us that God would bless us and give us safety there and back on Saturday, and just a great time as the kids use their talents for the Lord. Let us bow together in prayer this evening.
Dear Lord, thank you for saying the money about to see you, Lord. Just my prayer, amen.
Amen.
hymnals. Turn to hymn number 146. Hymn number 146, Blessed Calvary. What a wonderful song here as we think of Calvary. Hymn number 146 on the first stanza. The third stanza as the last, the cross is my hope for eternity. On that last verse,
the cross is my hope for eternity.
At this time, we'll take a few testimonies, and maybe the Lord has worked in your heart throughout the week through the preaching of God's Word. It's always good to share a decision that we've made, and so we can, it helps us to be accountable, but it also just puts it out there in front of us, the decision made, it puts it in clear language, what we've done, and the decisions we've made. So if God has worked in your heart this week, I trust that you'll be willing to share. Is there anyone at all tonight that would be willing to share? Zion?
Psalms 119, three times from yesterday night till
the end
of
the week. Wow.
Amen.
Amen. The Word of God is powerful. That's great. All right, someone else. Evan?
Well, this week I've been praying what to do and what not to do about traveling, and the Lord really helped me.
Amen. Amen. All right, anyone else? Trust you've come and heard this preaching and have made some decision that's important. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
The other night, Dr. Dimmer's message was about God being able. And we go through a lot of things in life, a lot of terms we didn't expect, a lot of disappointment, and not to get to fall on our own, just the way we're all down. But it's easy to forget that He is able. He's able to take whatever's going on, health-wise or whatever, and use it for His good. It's not, of course, always in our timing, but as long as we walk with Him and stay close to Him, and He opens doors and there goes, and He never will fail us. We'll fail Him and we'll fail ourselves. But we'll fail us.
Yep. Alrighty. Okay. Alright, anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
It's always a joy and a blessing to have Dr. Gilmore here. And didn't change this time. Still a joy and still a blessing. And we're so glad that he spent this week with us. Not only are we glad, but he's always such an inspiration. And now he's brought you guys, too. And you've been an inspiration. And your music has been fantastic. And as people here know me to say. It's amazing how, even if we don't know somebody or even if we haven't seen somebody for a long time, as family of God, it's amazing the bond that we have in Jesus.
Amen.
So I do pray for you for this week and for each of you who have come.
Pardon the special effects down here. No naps. That's what no naps looks like. Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's a blessing to have Eve in the back there, too. But Eve was there.
Great.
And blessing to see all the visitors this week. Everyone's been inviting, and praise the Lord for that. And just seeing God working.
Yep. Bring them to Jesus. Get people to Jesus. All righty. Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to say it's been a blessing. It's been a real spiritual oasis. The preaching, the music, the singing, and it's just such an encouragement, especially in this day and age with so many changes that have happened. We can still come and hear good sound preaching. Amen.
We need that preaching, don't we? We can get lax in our spiritual journey. And we need to really get that preaching that really challenges us, get us focused on what's really important. All right, anyone else? All right, well, I trust there's one more opportunity. I trust your heart is open and willing and ready to make any decision that the Lord would have you to work in, however he leads this evening. At this time, my wife and I are going to sing a song entitled Abiding in the Vine.
Thank you. Well, that's good. You know, I think Keenan's going to be a singer. He's just exercised his lungs a little bit there. Or be, even better now to be a preacher, right?
Yeah.
Amen.
So that's good. Amen. Well, let's all stand, please. And those of you who are 4 years old through the third, or whoever's been going back there, you can start going, okay? All right. Those who are in that group, you may make your way back. All right. Okay, well, let's take our Bibles tonight, please, and open, if you will, to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, we were there last night, and there's so much there, but we're going to go there again. Genesis, in your Bible, we're going to go to Genesis chapter number 5 in the Word of God. Genesis chapter number 5, and we're going to look at verse number 21. We'll start there, verse 21, Genesis chapter 5. All right. Want to thank those who have been so faithful, and appreciate so much the opportunity to be here again. This is my 10th time, you know, and it's unusual, you know, that many times, but God has been good to let me have that opportunity. And so whether we have 11th, we'll see how the Lord leads. So anyway, but 10 times is quite a bit of times. And appreciate the opportunity to be here. And I appreciate your prayers as I will be going up to New York, and Brother Rains is going back to Indiana. And so appreciate your prayers. Don't forget, this is the only night you can get anything in the back table, book table, if you're planning on doing that. That's the last time you can get anything tonight. All right, Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years, begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Speak to our hearts now, Lord. We need your help. We need your strength. We need you to work, Lord, because, Father, this is supernatural work. And it's not natural. It's not something we've done naturally. Only supernatural. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to work in people's lives and to draw them to do something supernatural. And Lord, we pray that everyone will want to do that in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
I want to, you can be seated, okay? You can be seated. I've often thought maybe I should have people stand though, all through the sermon. You know, maybe we get through to them better. You know, I did that a chapel years ago, and you know, I just had them all stand because they weren't responding anything, and so I said, we're going to just stand all through the preaching, and we had a lot of people respond. It's amazing. It's amazing we get in a rut, right? And you can sit down because that's what we do all the time, and we just space out, you know, and where we're standing, you know. So if I see you sleeping, and I see you, you know, look at your phone or, you know, looking around and look at the curtains, maybe I'll just say, let's stand, let's all stand. And so you be prepared, you know. I might do that tonight, you know, it's the last night. So the offering's already taken, so you can't take it back. And so anyway, okay, let's I want to challenge you to do something supernatural. Would you like to do something supernatural? You know, I mean, not just natural, I mean, you do that every day, you get up and take a shower, you get up and you go to work, or you get up and you walk around the house or do errands or whatever. But, you know, that's just natural. But I want to challenge you to do something supernatural. And you know what that is? I want to challenge you to walk with God. You know, that's supernatural. You know, to walk with God is a supernatural thing. And what churches need is some people that will do the supernatural. Not the natural. So many churches are filled with just people who live just naturally. I mean, they just get up and they go to work, and you know, maybe they go to church on the weekend, you know, and maybe they don't, and so forth. So I want to challenge you to do something supernatural tonight, and that is to see whether or not you are You know, a person is able to do something supernatural, which is walk with God. See whether you are doing something that's supernatural, walk with God. And then hopefully that you'll decide, hey, I am going to start doing something supernatural. I'm going to start walking with God. So I want you to see some things here tonight about this matter of walking God. There are five relationships people can have to walking with God. Five relationships are this supernatural thing that we can do, and that is walk with God. You know, He's supernatural, all-powerful. I mean, He's all-knowing. You know, see why people are excited about walking with somebody like that, you know. I mean, you walk with me, I don't know what's around the corner, you know. You walk with me, I can't meet your needs. But when you walk with God, you know, you get lined up with somebody who's powerful, supernatural. He can do anything and everything. And, so it seemed like people would really be excited about that. But, of course, there's a real devil, and he doesn't want you to do anything supernatural. He wants you to just live naturally and end up where that will lead you to an eternal hell. So anyway, let's see these relationships that people can have to walking with God. First of all, there is the relationship of being someone who can't walk with God. I mean, there are a lot of people who can't walk with God. And for instance, you cannot walk physically, you know, naturally, unless you're alive. You know, if you're dead, you can't walk naturally. I mean, I used to work at a funeral home, and I remember watering the flowers, you know, they had around the caskets and so forth, and I would go up and I'd put the water in there. I'd have one eye on the flowers I'm watering and one eye on the guy in the casket, you know. I just didn't trust him, you know. I mean, I just didn't like being around that. I did that job for a friend of mine who had to go off back home to do some things, and he asked me if I'd do it, and help him because he liked that job. He could study. It's very quiet. Very quiet in there. And so he could study. But anyway, I said, okay. But, you know, he never did come back. So I quit the job because I just didn't like being around death. I never, you know, it's just nothing exciting about it. And you know, there's no communication going on. There's no talking. You can't play a game with them. You can't. You know, you can't visit, you can't do anything because they're dead, see? And so, that's the way it is when you came into this world. You came into this world dead to supernatural walking. You came in, you couldn't walk with God because you were dead. You were spiritually dead, see? And the only way that you can ever be able to have a supernatural walk with God is that you need to know Him as your Savior. You need to come to Jesus Christ. See, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. See, Jesus gives you life to these dead bones, you know. Bible talks about in the book of Ezekiel, the dry bones, the dead bones, and how the Lord is going to, He likened the people of Israel to a skeleton, just dead bones, and He's going to come back and He's going to give life to those dead bones, and they're going to get up, and the nation of Israel is going to come alive. Well, that's what happens when you get saved. You become alive unto God, and you're able to supernaturally walk with God. If you're not alive, you can't do that. See, you just got to be, you got to come and get born again. You got to get washed in the blood of the Lamb. You have to become alive unto God to be able to walk with Him. Now, what if you don't want to come alive unto God? You just like to live naturally, and you don't want God to walk with you, and you don't want to walk with God, and you just want to end up where people like that are going to end up, and you don't want to become alive unto God. You know, what's the result of choosing not to come to Christ and let Him put His life in you and make you alive unto the things of God? What's the end result of that? Well, you will never be satisfied. You will never, ever be satisfied in this life. You know why? Because God created you to walk with Him. See, that's your purpose in life, to walk with God. See, that's why you're alive. That's why God allowed you to be born in this world, to give you a supernatural walk. You know, isn't that exciting? You know, to me, that's the most exciting thing in the world, that God would let me be born. I mean, folks, you're not an accident. You were created on purpose. God created you purposely. What for? To have a supernatural walk through life and onto eternity. That's why he created you, see? And you will never be satisfied until you are able to walk with God, supernatural, have a supernatural walk with God. You'll never be satisfied with this life. I mean, drugs can't do it. Money can't do it. Things in the world can't do it. You will never be satisfied. You know why? Because you're never going to fulfill the purpose of your creation unless you are able to walk with God. And you can't unless you get saved. You can't walk. I mean, you're dead. I mean, that's why some of you don't want to pick up a songbook and sing. You're dead. You're not alive. You know? That's why people don't like come to church. They're dead. They're not alive. See, it's just a ritual. It's boring. That's the way it was for me for many years. I was bored going to church. I'd sit in the back row. No offense, you sit in the back row. But the reason why I'd sit in the back row is I wanted to get out of there as soon as I could. You know why? It wasn't because they were offering me drugs. It wasn't because they were offering me booze. You know? No, they didn't offer that. You know, they were preaching the Bible. And I was dead to that. And I couldn't wait to get out of there. Well, one day as a 16-year-old teenager, I came to Jesus Christ. He breathed into me the breath of life spiritually, and I became a living soul, and I became alive unto God. And, you know, I wanted to walk with God. See, I wanted a supernatural walk in my life. I didn't want to just live naturally anymore. I wanted a supernatural walk, say. And Jesus made that possible. So, and you know, satisfaction filled my soul. Because now I'm able to do what God created me to do. That is to walk with Him, say. That's what He created me to do. You know, you could take a fish out of the water and you can put him on the shore. Do you think that fish would be satisfied being on the shore there? No. Why? He was made to be in the water. You know, you can drive down. I can drive my truck down to a gas station and say, you know, I'm tired of paying these high prices. Fill it up with water. You know, I'm gonna just put water in this truck, and I'm gonna not pay these high prices anymore. You know what? Do you think that diesel engine would be satisfied with water? No. See, you will never be satisfied, young man. You will never be satisfied, mom, dad, until you have a supernatural walk with God. And that can only take place as you come to Christ and get saved. Say, so do you have the potential of supernaturally walking with God? It all depends on whether you're saved. So there's another relationship people can have to the matter of walking with God, having this supernatural walk with God. There's another relationship, and that is the relationship of being able to walk supernaturally with God because you're saved, because you've trusted Christ, but not doing it. Do you realize how many people there are in our churches who are able to walk with God because they've trusted Christ, they've received Jesus Christ as Savior, but they're not doing it, they're not walking with God supernaturally? That's why our church is so weak. That's why our churches are so, you know, not really functioning the way they ought to. It's because we got too many people who could walk with God because they have been saved, but they're not doing it. Is that you tonight? Are you one who can walk with God because you've been saved? I'm not sure where you're going, young man.
Water?
You should have thought of that before the service started. Get your water and come right back, and please don't get up and leave again, okay? You know, people, you know, it's amazing how people don't want to, you know, stay in the service. And you know, the devil will do everything he can to get people to get up. I mean, he's going to miss part of the message. Who's behind that? Satan. You know, mom and dad, you need to send your kids to the bathroom before the service, get their drink of water before the service, and tell them not to drink too much because they may have to go to the bathroom to get rid of whatever they drink, you know? Supernatural walk with God. You know, are you supernaturally walk with God? So many can, but they don't. Why don't they? Number one, because they're filled with themselves. You cannot walk with God filled with yourself. Who do you think that wants you to think about yourself all the time? The devil. See, living for God starts in your mind. It starts up here. Now, you know, you got to get Jesus in your heart, but if you're going to walk with God supernaturally, you got to start thinking about it. Walking with God, thinking about God. Do you think about God today? How much time did you spend thinking about God? Thinking about Jesus? Thinking about the Holy Spirit? Thinking about these three wonderful, powerful beings? Did you spend any time thinking? You know, most of our day is spent in thinking about ourselves and what we're going to do. You know, I got to do this, I got to do that. And we're thinking about the world and what's going on in the world. And we're thinking about, a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Or we're thinking about our husband. Or we're thinking about our wife. Or we're thinking about our teachers. Or we're thinking about this. Hey, you know what? Walking with God means that you start thinking about God during the day. You bring Him into your thoughts. You start thinking about Him. See, that's why a lot of people who can walk with God, they are saved, but they don't do it. Why? Because they're just filled themselves. I remember my wife said, you know, she said this to me one time. She said, you know, I came to the place where I was tired of living for myself. And you know, if you're ever going to have a supernatural walk with God, that is the place you got to come. Where you are tired of living for yourself. Say, that's why a lot of people who can walk with God don't, because they're filled with themselves. Secondly, they can't walk with God. They're not doing it. They can, but they're not doing it. And that is because, secondly, there's a wall between them and God. See, you can't walk with somebody if you got a wall between you and them. You know, you try walking with your husband or your wife, and you got this wall between you're on this side and he's over there. I mean, how are you going to have much of a walk and a communion with your husband when you got a wall, you're on one side of the wall, and he's on the other side of the wall? You know, you're not going to walk very, very closely, for sure, with your husband or your wife, right? You're not going to do it. Say, and you know what? What is it that gets between us as Christians that keeps us from supernaturally walking with God? You know what it is? It's a wall called sin. You know, one little sin that's between you and God just prevents you from having a supernatural walk with God. You let one little sin. You know, some of you will never, ever have that supernatural walk with God because there's some sin you're living in and you're not willing to let go of it. And you know what? You can just kiss walking with God supernaturally goodbye when you've got an attitude that says, oh, it's not so bad. You know, it's not murder, it's not adultery, but you know, I got a little hate in my life, got a little unforgiveness in my life. You know, I do a little bit of lying here and there, and I lose my temper sometimes, you've got a wall between you and the Lord. Sin! You got to break that wall down to start walking with God supernaturally. But there's another reason why people who can walk with God, I mean, they're saved, they have the life of God, they can, but they don't. And that is, thirdly, because they're doing what the devil wants them to do. You see, what the devil wants you to do is not daily walk with God. You know, he wants you to say, oh, you just do that on Sunday morning, walk with God. You know, and then the rest of the week, you know, you walk yourself, you walk in the world, you think about the world, you go where the world wants you to go, and you're all filled up with the world. And so, that's what the devil, he does not want you to daily walk with God. He wants you to think that walking with God is only something you do on Sunday morning and in Sunday school or and Sunday morning in church. You know, a lot of people don't even walk with God in Sunday school. You know, they don't have a supernatural walk. God says, hey, I'm going to go to Sunday school, you know. A lot of people, you know, they don't go to Sunday morning service very regularly. You know, are you going to walk with God and staying out of church? Can you walk with God and not be in a local church and hear the Bible preach? No, you can't. You can't have a supernatural walk with God that way. Some people say, well, I walk with God Sunday school. I walk with God. I come Sunday morning. I walk with God. I come Sunday night. Okay, that's what. No, it isn't. That's what the devil wants you to think it is. You know, some of you don't even do that. You know, you don't walk with God even to go to three services on Sunday. You know, a lot of Christians don't do it. You know, I was in a church recently where they had 600 Sunday school, 600 Sunday morning, and 600 Sunday night, and 600 in the prayer meeting. Amen. Do you know that is an absolute abnormality? I mean, the average prayer meeting, you could shoot a shotgun in there and nobody would get hit. You know? The average Sunday night service, I mean, you could shoot a shotgun in there and I want to tell you something, maybe one or two would. That's not walking with God, friends. Just, I mean, coming to all the Sundays, and even coming to prayer meeting is not walking with God supernaturally. That's not walking with God where you just come Sunday and you come Wednesday. That's not walking with God. That's not a supernatural walk with God. You see, the devil wants you to think that you can walk with God too much. I can go to church too much. Do you know you can never go to church too much? No, folks, I want to tell you something. Listen, the devil wants you to think that, it's good enough to, you know, walking with God is coming to Sunday morning and Sunday school and coming to Sunday night and coming Wednesday. Boy, the devil wants you to think that. He's got a lot of Christians think that. I mean, there are no services, but they're not walking with God. You see, a daily walk with God is what the devil doesn't want. He doesn't want you to look at Monday and say, today I'm going to walk with God. He doesn't want you to look at Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and all day long I'm going to walk with God. He doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to think that walking with God is only something you do on Sunday and maybe Wednesday, but not something you do every day. See, you can't walk with God supernaturally until you have a daily walk with God. And a daily walk with God starts first thing in the morning. If you're going to walk with God daily, supernaturally, have a supernatural walk with God, it starts first thing in the morning. I'll never forget when I went to Bible college. I had a roommate. He would get up at 6 o'clock every morning. Normally we got up at 7 o'clock and I'd say, his name was Ron. I'd say, Ron, where do you go? Finally got the courage. I was so shy, you know. I didn't have much boldness. I didn't have much courage. I was just newly saved. I didn't know what supernatural walking with God was all about. I just didn't know. I wanted to walk with God, you know. I did. I wanted to because I've been saved. You know, if you don't want to walk with God, you've never been saved. In fact, if this doesn't have any interest at all in your life, you're not born again. You're lost on your way to hell. I don't care how many times you come to church. I don't care how many times you read the Bible. I don't care how many times you go to Master's Club. I don't care how many times you memorize Scripture. You're lost on your way to hell if you don't want to walk with God. Can you identify that you want to walk with God? Can you identify? Is that in here? You know, that's what happens when Jesus comes to your life. He enables you to have strength to walk with God, you know. And you can move out of being dead and you become alive unto God, see. But you know, if you're going to walk with God, it's got to start daily. Daily. First thing in the morning. Monday morning. First thing Tuesday morning. First thing Wednesday morning. First thing Thursday morning. First thing Friday morning. First thing Saturday morning. First thing Sunday morning. And you see, I asked this friend of mine. I was very shy. I didn't know much. I mean, I was so, I tell you, I wouldn't have been able to witness to anybody. I was just scared to death, you know, to give any say anything about the Lord. I didn't have any boldness. I had no courage at all. And so I finally, in the middle of the year, I asked this friend of mine, who was my roommate, I said, Ron, what do you do at 6 o'clock in the morning every morning? He says, Gary, there's a room down the hall. Nobody lives in it. There's got a bunch of furniture in there and a desk in there. And it's called the prayer room. He says, I go down there and I open my Bible and I pray. He said, I only read my Bible, but I think about what I'm reading. Amen. You know, I'm not so much for Bible reading schedules. You know, a lot of churches have Bible reading. I'm not, it's okay, you know, I'm not saying you can never go, it's not sin or anything, but I'm not so much. Why? Because a lot of people say, well, I got 10 chapters to read to get through the Bible this year. And they go like a machine gun through the 10 chapters. And you ask them, what did you read? I don't know. I read 10 chapters. They don't even know what they read. See, the devil doesn't care how much Bible you read. He just doesn't want you to think about what you read. And he doesn't want you to apply it to your life when you read it. And I'll never forget that friend of mine. He said, Gary, he said, if you're ever going have the blessing of God, if you're ever going to walk with God, he said, you've got to start doing it daily. And it starts in the morning, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And that's how you daily walk with God. And if you don't have that in your life, my friend, you're not walking with God. You can if you're saved. You want to, right? You want to if you are saved. You want to. But you're not doing it. Why? Because there's no daily meeting God and opening His Word and thinking about what you're reading and say, how can I put this into my life, Lord? Would you help me to understand how to put this in my life? Because, you know, these are some great truths here. Help me. And see, that's how you have a supernatural of God. You see, you daily decide you're going to walk with God. And you know what? It's not in the morning. You know what? It's all day long. You don't just read your Bible and then go about thinking about yourself and thinking about... But all day long, you are thinking about God. You are talking about the Lord to other people, your wife, your husband, your kids. You're talking to your wife how what you saw in the Scripture today. And you're talking to your husband about how God has shown you something in the Bible. And so you're talking about the Word of God. And you're thinking about the Word. That is daily walk with God. It's not something that you only do on Sunday. Some people don't even think about God in church. They think about sports and the weather. Hurry up, preacher, get through. You know, I want to get that pizza. They don't even walk with God when they're in church. They don't have a supernatural. It's just a ritual. It's just like going to a Catholic church. Going through some rituals. Don't think about it. We don't see how can I apply this message to my life. You know, we don't apply. See, that's not walking with God. You see, I'll tell you something. Walking with God is something you do 24 hours a day. You are thinking, of course, you're sleeping, but you can even walk with God when you're sleeping. I've had some dreams about the Lord. I've talked to the Lord in dreams, and boy, He's given me some wonderful thoughts. I've had some of the best sermons I ever got came when I was dreaming. See, you can get that's how God can really start communicating with you, even when you're dreaming. He can start talking to you. He can be real. Instead of someone you read about in the Bible that lived 2,000 years ago, and all those other men lived more than 2,000 years ago, and they become alive and they become real to you. And you want to be like them. You want to follow in their footsteps. Say. Because you're walking with God, you see. You know, I tell you something, folks. Do you know there's a book of remembrance in the Bible? In Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible talks about a book of remembrance. And in that book, God records every word that you say about Him. And God records every thought you have about Him. If you were to stand before God tonight, and God was at, and by the way, this will happen one day. We will stand before the Lord, and God's going to take the book of remembrance. He's got a book on your life, and my life too. And He's going to open that book of remembrance. And you know, how much would He have recorded down there that you thought about Him today? Did you think about Calvary today? Did you think about how great God is today? Did you think about what Jesus did for you? Did you think about God's grace, His mercy, His kindness? Did you think about... See, living for God starts, in your heart, but then it's got to get to your thinking. You got to start thinking about living for the Lord, say. You got to bring Him into your mind. Bring Him into your life. How do you bring Him into your life? You bring Him into your life when you start thinking about Him. That's how you bring Him into your life. What do you want me to do today, Lord? And you start talking to Him. What do you want me to do today, Lord? That's prayer, right? I mean, you talk to the Lord as you're driving down the road. You know, you're in your car. People think you're nuts. You know, they're thinking, who's that guy talking to? You know, you're talking to the Lord. You go around the house and you're talking to the Lord. You're singing around the house. You're singing some songs. Jesus loves me, this I know. And you're talking to the Lord. You're communicating. If you don't sing, you're not talking to the Lord. One of the ways you talk to the Lord is you sing. Not just in church, but at home. When you're at work, when you're driving, I like to get out and walk. You know why I walk? I just sing. I just talk to the Lord. Say, what a beautiful creation, Lord, You made here. Oh, thank You, Lord, I can walk. Thank You, Lord. You thank the Lord. Lord, I thank You, I can see. Thank You, Lord, I can hear. Thank You, Lord, I can smell. Thank You, Lord, I can eat. Thank You, Lord, I'm not in the hospital. He's talking to the Lord. And God writes down what you say. One time I was in the church having meetings in Ohio, and I wasn't with my wife, and we were. I was staying in the motel. Now, boy, I don't like motels. I tell you what, I don't. I like my trailer, and it's just home. I like to sleep in my own dirt, amen? And so, you know, I would stay in this motel. I had to, and I sometimes, you know, I do what I have to do, and it's sometimes you can't have it all the way you like it, you know. You can't have the way you like it all the time here in this life. You found that out? Yeah. So, you know what? I had to stay in this motel. And so I met the preacher and a friend of mine who was on the staff for breakfast, and we were sitting there in a Bob Evans. You probably, I don't know if you know Bob. I don't even have Bob Evans out here, but Bob Evans is a very popular breakfast place. Of course, my favorite is Cracker Barrel, amen. I love Cracker Barrel, you know. And but they didn't have a Cracker Barrel there, so the pastor went to Bob Evans. I didn't complain about it, you know. You know, I didn't complain about it. And I, sitting there, we were talking about the Lord. We were talking about how good He is, and you know how great it is to know Him. And I didn't know it, we didn't know it, but there was a couple sitting right next to us. And they were having breakfast, and they heard us talking about the Lord. And he came to us and said, "Are you guys Meet a Chance preachers?" And we said, "Yeah, we are, you know." I don't know why people think it's always preachers, just preachers talk about the Lord. It ought not to be that way. It ought to be just you and I, ordinary, born-again, Bible-believing Christians, talk about the Lord. And so, you know, she says, "Well, listen, I'm taking my husband down here to Dayton, Ohio for a ham radio convention, and I'm going to come back up here to your church." You know, that was 40 miles down to Dayton, Ohio. She was going to have to drive 40 miles back, and she said, "I'll be in church." I thought, uh-oh, I've heard many people say that. I'll be there and never show up. But she did. And she sat right in the middle of the church. And God had led me that morning to preach on how you can know 100% for sure you're going to heaven, not to hell. And I want to tell you something, the invitation, that lady stepped out, total stranger, stepped right out, came right to the pastor, said, "Pastor, I want to know I'm saved." And I'll tell you something, the pastor's wife took her aside, showed how she could be saved. And she came out rejoicing. You know, she'd gone to her pastor. "Is there a way I can, you know, live a good life?" Well, you know, you're not going to know you're saved just living a good life. And so, but now she knew it. In fact, when she got home, she wrote a letter back to the pastor thanking him and thanking us that we were talking about Jesus, that we were talking about the Lord at that breakfast table. And she said, "Now I know that I'm saved. You know, I'm so glad that I was walking with God." And I, you know, when you walk with God, you talk about Him. You talk about Him to your mom. You talk about Him to your dad. You talk about Him around the dinner table. You're talking about the Lord. How much talking are you doing about Jesus outside of church? Do you witness anybody? When's the last time you gave a tract? When's the last time you gave your testimony? You know, I always like to give my testimony, how the Lord saved me. That's a great thing to do. You can talk to somebody about Jesus. See, God left you here to talk to people about Jesus, to talk about the Lord. See, that's what supernaturally walking is all about. It's talking about the Lord. And He writes it down in a book, see? He writes your thoughts down in a book when you think about the Lord. See, that is what we need. There was a bunch of preachers one time, and they got together for a fellowship time, and one of the preachers wasn't there. This particular preacher wasn't there was a real godly preacher. I mean, when people would shake his hands, they trembled. They got their conviction shaking his hand. He trembled. And so they were talking about that, and one of them said, "Boy, he must spend a lot of time in prayer. He must spend a lot of time in prayer." And so they decided one of them was going to go into his room and get underneath the bed. You know, so and not tell them they're under there. Just get underneath that bed, and he's going to see how much time he spent praying, because he must spend a lot of time praying. And so this guy comes in. He's not aware the guy's underneath the bed, and so he's under there, and he turns out the light. This fellow that does all the praying, they think does all the praying, that's got the power of God in his life. And so he turns out the light, but there's no prayer, and he just says this. He says, "It's been a good day. I'll see you in the morning." You see, that man walked with God all day. And when it came to the time to end the day, there was nothing more to say. Why? He walked with God all day. From a.m. to p.m., he just walked with God. See, that is why Christians don't have much blessing. That is why Christians are powerless. They can walk with God. They're born again. They want to, if they're really saved. They want to, but they don't do it. Why? Because of a wall between them and the Lord of sin. Because they're filled with themselves. Just self-centered, self-conscious, self-focused all day long. It's about me, say. And we live in a world that encourages us that. This world encourages, you know, you deserve a break today. You deserve this. You deserve that. It's all self-focused and self-centered. No, I tell you something. The only thing we deserve is hell. And, you know, that's the only thing we really deserve. And so, dear friend, are you having a supernatural walk with God? I want you to see, thirdly, there's another relationship you can have to walking with God. And that is, you can have the relationship of being one, someone who did walk with God or didn't walk with God. You could have the relationship of someone who did walk with God or didn't walk with God. Now when I'm talking about this, I'm talking about people in the Bible, okay? These are people who did or didn't. They're all in the past and they're not here anymore, but they are people who did walk with God or they didn't. You know, everybody in the Bible that did walk with God, they were what they were because they walk with God. They did what they did because they walk with God. See? That's why they are who they are. They walked with God. For instance, let me just say a couple of them. Enoch, who we read about, he walked with God. And he walked with God for 300 years. Now, if he could walk with God for 300 years, you and I surely can. You know why? Enoch didn't have the indwelling Holy Spirit. Enoch did not have the full, completed Word of God. Enoch did not have a local church to assemble together. Say, if he can walk with God for 300 years, you and I certainly can. We got the Holy Spirit. We got the Bible. We got a local church. We got a new nature. When we got saved, God gave us a nature that wanted to walk with God. Say, it's not something I don't want to walk with God, but oh, I guess I better. Have you ever stood by an orange tree and heard an orange tree go, oh, I hate bearing oranges. Oh, it's terrible, but you know, I'm an orange tree and I'm supposed to bear oranges. There's an orange. Orange trees bear oranges naturally. And when you're saved, you naturally want to walk with God. No preacher has to be there twisting your arm. No mom and dad has to be there to say, hey, we're going to church. Oh, I don't want to go to church. That's boring. Well, you don't want to. You're not saved. You're not born again. I don't care how nice you look and how good you may be. And you don't drink and smoke and chew and go with the girls that do. Dear friend, I'll tell you something. When you're born again, you want to walk with God. It's a nature that you have, see? And so Enoch walked with God. And you know what the Bible says to Enoch? The Bible says in Hebrews 11:5 that he pleased God. Why did Enoch please God? Because he was smart? Because he was so rich? Did he please God because he was so talented? No, he pleased God because he walked with God. If you're ever going to please God in your life, you've got to have a supernatural walk with him daily in your life. You got to establish that if you're going to please God. And by the way, he was raptured. You know, people that walk with God are raptured. One day Jesus coming. He could come tonight. And if you have never been born again, you'll be left behind, say. You'll look and say, where's Mom? Where's Mom? I can't see Mom. Where's the preacher? Preacher, where are you? I called your house. He's gone. I tell you what, I hate to be in the shoes of someone who's never started to walk with God by accepting Christ. Especially in this day and age when we're everywhere we look, it looks like the coming of the Lord is so close, so near, so we're not far away from it. And I'm really thankful for that. The only thing that really bothers me is all the lost people out there. I want to go home to heaven so bad, but then I get to thinking about all the lost people. And I say, okay, Lord, I don't want to, you know, hurry you to the place where you leave behind someone that you were going to save. You know, I want you to save every person who wants to be saved, and then we'll go home. Amen? But I'll tell you something, folks. Listen, are you walking with God? Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, the Bible says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he walked with God. And the Bible says Noah was just. See, he was just, and he was perfect in his generations because he walked with God. See, Noah, because he walked with God, the priority of his life was to be right with God. I mean, the biggest thing in his life was to be right with God every day, every moment. He wanted to be just. He wanted to be right with God. Listen, when you're walking supernaturally with God, the biggest priority of your life is to be right with God every moment of your life.
Amen.
It's the biggest priority. What's your biggest priority? Money? Friends? Comfort? What's your biggest priority? How sad it is, many of our Christians, their biggest priority is not to be right with God, because they sit on sin, they don't confess it, they don't forsake it, they just keep living in it, and they don't deal with their sin. I hope you've dealt with your sin this week. That's what revival means all about. It's an opportunity for Christians to deal with their sin, saint. And so you deal with your sin, saint. That's why Noah was just. He walked with God. That was his priority. He kept sin up. Now, Noah wasn't perfect. He did sin. In fact, after the flood, he went out and got drunk. You know, you as a born again Christian, you can commit any sin that's in this world. And you know, the thing about Noah is, even though he sinned, he confessed it and he got up and he got right with God. See, God doesn't look for perfection. He looks at people who want to go in the right direction. And to go in the right direction means that you keep short accounts of sin when it gets to your life. You get it out of your life.
Right.
Bible says a just man falls 7 times. None of us are perfect. But you know what a man who's supernatural, God does when he falls? He gets up. And he gets going again.
Right.
He just keeps going. He falls.
He said, "Oh, Lord, forgive me."
Gets up, gets going again. You know what the Bible says? A man who doesn't have that desire to walk with God does when he falls? The wicked fall. There's no getting up. They're out the door. You never see them again. They don't come to church. They drop out. It only reveals that they never really started to walk with God by trusting Christ their Savior. Because when you get saved, you have a natural desire to want to walk with God. And you know, even when you sin, you get it right, and you get up, and you get going again. You just get going. That's what Noah did. And the Bible says he was perfect in generations. So what does that mean? It doesn't mean that he's absolutely perfect. We just point out that he had a time when he had to repent and get right with God. You know, if you really walk with God, there's going to be times when you have to repent. There's going to be times when you say, "Hey, I've not been walking with God like I ought to, and I'm repenting of it." That's what some of you need to do tonight. You're not walking with God like you ought to, and you need to repent of it and say, "Lord, sorry, I've not been reading my Bible in the mornings. I've been sitting around watching Fox News, and I've been reading my computer and looking at my computer and all that kind of stuff. Lord, I repent. I'm going to meet you in the morning first thing from here on out." Boy, it'll change your life. Change me. That fellow that I told you about, that Ron, I never heard him complain once about all the rules at the school. There were kids complaining about the rules and this rule, and they were murmuring and grumbling. Never, you know what, he came in the room and he'd be singing a song, and I said, "Boy, that's the kind of Christian I want to be." I wouldn't want to be the kind of Christians that some of the Christians I've met over the years. I wouldn't want to be that kind of Christian. You know why they're that way? They don't walk with God. They don't have a supernatural walk with God. It's just something they do on Sunday, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all about them. It's all about what I want to do, where I want to go, what I feel, what I like. It's not, "God, what do you like? What do you want me to, where do you want me to go, Lord?" Say, they're not walking with God. God's dead to them. You know, there are a lot of practical atheists sitting in our churches. They say they believe in God, but their life surely doesn't show up. They never talk to Him. They never think about Him. You're an atheist. You're an atheist. That's what you are, really. You don't talk to God. You don't think about God. That's atheism. That's atheism. Say. So if you're really saved, you don't want to be an atheist, amen? You don't want to live like an atheist lives. Never thinks or talks about the Lord at all to anybody or anything. They don't say anything about the Lord to their husband. Don't say anything to their Lord about to the Lord to their wife about the Lord. Never say anything to their mom and dad about the Lord. Never say anything to their friends about Jesus Christ. Oh, they talk about sports and ball games and games and video games and the latest video game and that they're playing. That's all they talk about and think about. You better check up and see whether you're saved.
Right.
You very well may not be, because there's no desire in your heart to talk about God. You know, when that one lady was dead, and Jesus came along and said, "Give her something to eat." You know, when you're alive, you want to eat. Amen? When you're alive spiritually, you want to eat the Bible. That's your food. You want to eat it. It's not enough to just get it Sunday morning once every day, every week. You want more food. I mean, what would you be like if you only ate once a week? How well do you think you'd be? And yet there are so many people who say that they're saved and they're Christians, but they don't want to walk with God. That's a misnomer. There's something wrong there, folks. Listen, oh, you go through the Bible. Boy, I wish I had time to go through and look at all the people who walk with God and how God, blessed their life and worked in such amazing ways in their life. The fourth relationship to walking with God, I want you to know, I got to hurry here, and that is those who have the relationship, some of it is a relationship of walking with God now. I mean, they are walking with God daily. And you know, I believe there's probably some out here that are walking with God daily. You know, that's the only thing that keeps the church together, really. You got to have at least one or two, you know, that are walking with God daily. Otherwise, it's pretty well hopeless of seeing anything really happen too much there in that church. But you know, what is the characteristics of people who, what are the results of walking with God daily? Well, first of all, you will do the biggest thing you could ever do in God's eyes. The biggest thing you could ever do in God's eyes is to walk with Him. It's not to be a preacher in the pulpit. That's not the biggest thing you can ever... It's not to give $1 million to the church. That's not the biggest thing. The biggest thing you can ever do for God is to walk with Him every day. See, not just on Sunday, but every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's the biggest thing you can ever do. And you know what? It's the wisest thing. You know why? Because God knows your needs. And when you're walking with Him, He can meet your needs. And He's got the power to meet your needs. You can walk with me all you want to, but I don't know your needs. I don't know what you really need. God does. You can walk with me all you want to, but I'll tell you something. I can't meet your need if I knew it. I could. Some of you need healing. I'm not a healer, but God is. See, God's got the power to work mightily in your life and in your home and meet your needs when you walk with Him. So, you know, that's one of the blessings of walking with God daily now. You know, daily saying, you know, hey, Enoch did and Noah did, and there are many others. I don't have time to look at them all. David did, Esther did. You know, all through the Bible, men and women walk with God all through the Bible, you know. But they're gone. And now it's just us. We got to fill their shoes. We got to have somebody in America who cares about this nation. And the biggest thing you can ever do for America, if you love this country, is to walk with God. That's the biggest thing you can ever do. If you hate this country, you want to see it destroyed, walk in the world. Walk for yourself. Live for yourself. Ignore God. Don't come to church on Sunday. Stay home, watch live stream church. That's not going to church, by the way. Live stream churches are not churches. It's a trick of the devil. Get people to stay home, not be in a local church. Say. See, you know, there were 10. God said to Abraham, said, you know, Abraham said, Lord, if there be 10 righteous people, 10 people walking with God in that city, would you spare it? Yeah, I'll spare it for 10. And then Abraham got a little bold and said, Lord, if there be 45 righteous people in that city, will you spare it from judgment? Remember, God was going to bring judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah because they're a wicked perversion, their sodomy, their homosexuality, all that wicked stuff they're involved in. And You know, God said, I'll spare it if there's 40. And then he got a little bolder. Abraham said, I'll spare. You know, will you spare for 30? Yeah, I'll spare for 30. How about 20? Yeah, I'll spare for 20. And then he got down. If there's 10 people walking with God in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, will you spare it? And Abraham said, you know, if Lot is living for the Lord, he's got 10 in his family. And so he stopped there. And he thought, you know, there wouldn't come judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah because there were 10 people in Lot's family. And he thought, they're walking with God. But they weren't. And judgment came upon that nation, that city, Sodom and Gomorrah, and they were totally destroyed. Listen, if we don't have a revival of people who say that they know the Lord and they have Jesus their Savior, if we don't have a revival of people who will want to walk with God, this country is hopeless. It's done. It's going to be over. There's going to be bloodshed and civil war, and there's going to be just economic upheaval, you know. If we persist the way we're going, unless we have a people who will rise up and say, I'm going to walk with God. Would you be one? Would you be one who would just daily walk with God? I mean, is that too much to ask of you? Just to get up in the morning, get in the Bible, read and pray, and think about what you're reading, and then go through the day and think about the Lord, bring Him into your thoughts, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Where should I go? And do you want me to buy this thing over here? You know, you talk about the Lord to everything. He likes to hear about every little detail of your life. Don't ever think that God is so big and awesome that He doesn't want to hear about your little burdens or concerns. He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to bring Him into your life. He doesn't want you to be like the idol worshippers who set their little idol on the shelf and they walk away from Him. And they come back and they get their little idol. No, God wants you to bring Him into your life. Every day, every moment, bring Him into your life. Say, He wants that to be true. Oh, I could go on. You know what? You'll never have a hard time going to church when you're walking with God. Never have a hard time. It would be easy to come to church. It would be easy when you're walking with God. You know what? You'll never get weary of teaching Sunday school class when you're walking with God. You will get weary if you're not walking with God and you're teaching Sunday school class or you're active in the church somewhere. And if you're not walking with God, you know, you can be active and not walking with God. You can be a deacon, not walking. You can be a Sunday school teacher, not walking with God. Say, listen, I'll tell you, if you're not walking with God, it won't be too long. You'll be a cold, active person. Just cold, careless, perilous. No heart in it, no singing, no, you know, you don't have any zeal about it. It's just something, well, somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to be there, you know. Somebody's got to do this. But when you're walking with God, there's no weariness in coming to church. No weariness in reading your Bible. No weariness, you see, when you're walking with God. Oh, listen, are you walking with God? And the last thing I want you to know, there is another relationship people have to walk with God, and that is the relationship of being someone who realizes it's time to start walking with God. Be a person that says, you know, I've not been walking with God the way I should. And I want to start walking with God. I want this supernatural walk in my life. And see, that is a person who realizes it's time to do it. Enoch, when he was 300 years old, he recognized it's time to start walking with God. I mean, Enoch wasn't born walking with God. He was born just like walking with himself and living for himself and the world and everything else. But when he's 300 years old, he said, man, it's time for me to start a walk with God. And you know what caused him to do that? He became a father. Boy, if there's anybody that needs to walk with God, it's you if you're a mother. The devil's after your kids. The devil wants to get them to be drug addicts and to end up behind bars. And the devil wants you to lose your children. And Enoch, when Methuselah was born, he said, oh man, oh, I gotta start. I need help. I got this little boy. I'm going to be responsible. He goes to heaven or hell. Oh God, would you help me? And he said, I got to start walking with God. See, when that little boy was born, I remember when my first boy was born, man, I tell you what, I walked back there and I saw that little baby lay. I said, oh Lord, if there's ever a time I got to walk with you, it's now. Now it's even more so. I got 25 grandkids. Wow. I gotta walk with God. I can't quit. I can't stop. I can't get backslidden. I can't stop preaching. I can't stop serving the Lord. I can't stop reading my Bible. I can't do it. I got 25 grandkids. I want to influence them. I don't want them to go the way of the world. I don't want them to end up in hell. I don't want them to end up having to get married. I want them to walk with God. And that's what it motivated him. He said, I got these kids. This kid, Methuselah. And then he was motivated by the fact that Jesus was coming. In Jude chapter 14, he talked about the coming of the Lord. And as he looked around, you know, I'll tell you what, we can look around a lot more than Enoch could. And we can see that the coming of the Lord is really near. Boy, we better get busy walking with God. Time's short, folks. Jesus is coming. Will you stand before the Lord with a wasted life? Because you didn't walk with God? Nothing but a pile of ashes to lay at Jesus' feet? I don't want to stand there at that judgment seat of Christ and have nothing but ashes to lay at his feet when he shed his blood for me. I tell you, you don't walk with God and make that your priority in life. I mean, every day, get up, I'm going to walk with God today. That's my priority, number one priority. I'll tell you something, you will stand at that judgment seat of Christ and you will weep and you will be ashamed that you chose to walk with the world more than God. You chose to walk with your friends, your family, more than God. I tell you, when you're walking with God, you don't put family ahead of church. You don't put a husband ahead of church. You don't put a wife ahead of church. When you're walking with God, you don't do that. You say, if my wife doesn't want to, I'm going to. My husband doesn't want to, I'm going to. If my kids don't want to, I'm going to. If my mom and dad don't want to, I'm going to. Say, Jesus is coming, folks. That's what motivated Enoch to start that walk with God. He realized it was time to do something about the fact that he wasn't walking with God, because he saw that he had that baby boy, Methuselah, and because he realized the coming of the Lord was at any moment, and because he knew that judgment was coming. When that rapture took place and he'd be taken out of this world, he knew that judgment was coming. You know, you ought to be really blessed that you can look at a Christian in the face tonight. You know why? Because when you can't look at Christians in the face, you're in big trouble. Because that means the rapture's taking place and the wrath of God is going to be poured out on this world. Do you want to experience the wrath of God being poured out on this world? I don't. Praise the Lord, I'm not going to have to. Because one day I started a walk with God, 16 years old. I came to Jesus Christ, dead in my sin. And I said, Lord, you're the only one to give me life. Come into my life and save me. And you know what? Praise God, he delivered me from the wrath of a holy God against sin. And he wants to do that for you. Years ago, the story is told of a wagon train making its way out west. And there was a great big wildfire that had developed, maybe lightning caused it, and the wind was blowing that wildfire towards this wagon train, and out there, there's nothing to stop a big wildfire like that. I mean, it was just moving fast. It was just moving fast, and the wise wagon master, he said, listen, we got to do something about this. And so he got on his horse, he ran to the back of the wagon, and he lit a fire back there. And that wind that was blowing that prairie fire towards them, that same wind took the fire that he lit behind the wagon trains and blew it away. And so as the area became large enough that was burned over that he could get the wagon trains to go, so he got all the wagon trains to go to that burned over area. And the little girl looks up that wagon master and says, she sees that fire coming towards him, big fire coming towards him. Oh, sir, are you sure we're safe? Are you sure we're safe? That fire won't consume us. And the wagon master looked down at that little girl and patted her in the head. and said, "Honey, we're safe. Fire can't come where fire has already been. And when you know Jesus, your Savior, you can never know the judgment of a holy God on you for your sin." Right. Why? Because one day you backed off to Calvary and you opened your heart to Jesus and you received Him as your Savior. And now you are safe. I love that song. Safe am I. Safe am I in the hollow of His hand. Sheltered o'er with His love forevermore. No ill can harm me, no foe alarm me, for He keeps both day and night. Safe am I, in the hollow of His hand. Are you safe tonight? Are you safe? Because you've gone to Calvary, and you've received Jesus as your Savior. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, how we need some people who would do the supernatural. Lord, so many Christians are just walking and living the Christian life in a natural way. Just doing their own thing. Just wrapped up in their own little lives. And Lord, just not walking supernaturally the way You want them to walk. Lord, I pray that tonight the Holy Spirit would show people here that perhaps aren't saved. They don't have a natural desire to walk with You. They don't have that because they've never been born again. Lord, I pray You'd help them to see that and to want to get saved and start our walk with God while they can. But before it's too late to do that, Lord, I pray You'd save their soul and just work there. And I'll praise You for it. And then, dear Lord, would You work in the hearts of all of us as Christians here, mine as well as anybody's. Lord, help us to want to walk with You more than we've been walking with You. Lord, give us a greater desire to walk with You, Lord. Oh, that we might be consumed with a holy desire day after day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, to walk with You. And Father, we give You the praise and the glory for it all. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's all stand, please. The pianist comes and begins to play the invitation song, number 232, if she can play that, or if she can't, she can play whatever she'd like to. But with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me ask you something. Do you know you're saved? Do you know you have had a time when you were made alive unto God because you came as a lost sinner, dead in your sin, and you trusted Jesus, your Savior? If you're not sure of that, as she's playing right now, Pastor will be right here. Would you slip out from where you're standing, come right here and meet him and say, "Pastor, I'm just not sure that I really ever started a walk with God. I'm just not sure I have." Why don't you come and make sure you have? Why don't you come and say, "You know, I don't really want to walk with God. It's not in my heart." That's because you're dead. You need the life of Jesus to want to. He puts that nature inside of you. Would you come and say, I want to walk with God. I want to start a walk with God. I realize it's time to. It's time to. Your life's going by. Who knows what tomorrow's going to bring? Who knows you got to have another chance other than tonight? Why don't you say, I want to start that walk with God. I realize it's time to. Would you come right now? Would you come right now? Anybody like that? All right, with their heads bowed and their eyes closed, how many say, "Preacher, I need to walk with God more than I've been walking with Him." If that's you, would you lift your hand? I need to walk with God more than I've been walking with Him. Would you lift your hand if that's you? Yes. 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 Do you need a greater desire to walk with God? If that's you, would you lift that hand? I need a greater desire, preacher, to walk with God. I acknowledge that tonight. Would you lift that hand if that's you? If that's you? All right, here's what I want you to do. She's playing that song. Would you come right down here, right where from you're seated, get on your knees, and say, "Lord, give me a greater desire to walk with You." Would you come and do that tonight? Just slip out from where you're standing, get on your knees, sit in the pew if you can't get on your knees, and just say, "Lord, I need a greater desire to walk with You." Would you come right now, quickly? Just come. Amen. Someone else, just come. Lord, I need a greater desire to walk with you. You know, we can't walk with God down here, up in heaven like we can down here. Can't do it. Do you need a greater desire to walk with God? Would you come and ask the Lord to give it to you? Would you do it? Would you do it? Anybody ask quickly? All right, Pastor, you come, please, and close as God leads you.
Amen. We desperately need this closer walk with God. Our nation needs it. And Lord, we pray tonight that you would just move this message deep into our hearts, imprint it in us so that we will never forget how Enoch walked with you so much that you took him. For 300 years he walked with you. Lord, we need that. We need that in our lives today, Lord, that we would prioritize you first and foremost.
Yes, Lord.
And our walk with you first and foremost above all else in life, above our relationships, above our daily needs in life, above all the other things in life, Lord, we pray that you would help us to walk with you first and foremost, that others may see you in us, and that sinners may be drawn to Calvary as a result of our close walk with you, and that Christians would be encouraged and exhorted to live for God and to shun sin and to hate evil and to love you with all their heart.
Amen.
As a result of our walk with you, I pray that you would move on us, move your Holy Spirit, move a mighty work among us tonight, Lord. Pour down your fire from heaven that we may have that holy boldness that can only come from a close walk with you.
Amen.
Lord, as so many Christians have had in the past, that the great revivals and awakenings were started by believers who just met your conditions of a holy walk with you and desiring you first and foremost. We pray, Lord, that you'd start that revival right here in South Jersey, Lord, that you'd do it right among us tonight.
Amen.
That we'd love you so much and that we'd want to walk with you so much that you would answer our prayers and send a revival, Lord, through each one of us.
Yes.
That our family members can be saved who aren't yet. That our friends, our co-workers, our neighbors, our loved ones, and that this church may see great growth and revival as a result of our personal walk with you.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, kindle that in us tonight. Lord, we ask, we know that it's going to take priority and it's going to take work and it's going to take our surrender to you each and every day.
Amen.
Lord, but we ask that you do that in each one of our lives tonight. We pray that you would bless Dr. Gilmore, bless Brother Raines and his family, Lord, and just take them from here in safety and in your power and strength, Lord, as they are able and fit vessels for you to continue your work and preaching your word all around this country and all around the world, Lord.
Yes,
pray
Lord.
You just use them mightily this spring, this summer, this fall, Lord, as you tarry, that you might give us time to preach the gospel to every creature, that more souls can be saved,
Amen.
That more Christians can grow in you, that we can grow as a church body, grow as individual believers for your honor and glory. We pray you'd bless everything, the food to follow, bless to our bodies, help each one to be encouraged tonight, that it's the formula is simple from your word, to draw close to you, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto us. Lord, we thank you for that simple formula from your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
not going to be here on Sunday. I have the book at home, but the picture and the handout are at home.
The top right of Matilda.
Yeah.
Far right door. Only his guy is Jay.
Yeah.
Or something. But you're looking at the filing cabinet, the top one on the far right.
Whatever the top one on the far right is.
Yeah.
And what section?
Yeah.
It's all in the plastic.
Is this an ester?
We didn't have it last week, so I just bring you two. And I'll try to drop the book off tomorrow if you have a chance to come and get it. Or I'll just give you the first two. Yeah.
So you said it's two. Is it the second part?
Maybe
we could take a look at the mail.
I didn't think of it until I got here, but I had gone to the orientation for the boot camp. Going to the diabetes boot camp.
Oh, wow.
And through my doctor. I got a scholarship because Susie Evans, he was on the radio, and she said, I have this friend, and blah, blah, blah. She didn't know he was my doctor.
Oh,
but it's like $325, and he said, we'll give her a scholarship.
It's
in Margate.
Is it one day or
3 days? But I'll drive back and forth. So people are staying at the Nest this week.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
At Point and Beach. Well, and it's right at the
Jewish.
Okay. I'll give it to you in 1 second.
30 seconds.
Get you a pizza slice or something? You're going to have what, pumpkin?
I guess so. We should have it in there. It's
okay.
Going to take us a little while.
Okay.
Let me get my husband going.
Okay. What type do you want? Are you going to get come get your own?
I want anything but sausage or pepperoni. I do not want sausage or pepperoni.
Okay. Got it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Where do you guys send your blood work?